Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos, Daf Samach Zayin, and we will begin with Daf Samach Zayin and Aleph at the top of the Omid Gilgal Hegdish. Teaches us the Gemara Gilgal Hegdish, Poiter. If the dough, we know that if the dough is made, challah must be removed. If the dough was made when it belonged to Hegdish, challah doesn't have to be removed. Explains itself to the Gemara, the Tanan, as we went to the Mishnah. Hegdish isosoi atzla gilgula. If somebody was magdish a dough prior to becoming a dough, and then upadasoi, but before he actually made it into a dough, he was poider, so it's no longer hegdish. The halacha is chayevis. It's chayev in chala being removed. Mishal gilgula upadasoi, but if he only redeemed the dough, mishal gilgula upadasoi. If he made it hegdish only after he mixed it and then he redeemed it, chayevis. Again, for the same reason. Because since at the moment it was made into a dough, it was not hegdish, that's why it's chayevis. However, hegdish actually gilgal. If he was magdish it, he was magdish the dough prior to making it into a dough, just magdish the ingredients before he actually mixed it into a dough. The gilgala hagizbar, and it was mixed into a dough while it was in the hands of hegdish. Vakach padasa, and then it was redeemed. Here it's ptura. It's pata from taking challah from the dough, because since at the moment it became chayiv and challah, at the time it became chayiv and challah, hoisab tura, it was potter, because the moment that counts is when it is being made into dough, when it has the gilgal. So as the Brisker Rav says a very interesting point, he says it in the name of his father, Reb Chaim. He says, even though the Gemara is teaching us that the moment that counts is the moment of it being made into a dough, the moment of Gilgal Hegdish, says the Brisker Rav, that the halacha remains that somebody could actually take off challah even before it's made into a dough. That means if there are ingredients of water and flour here, and somebody wants and makes that into a, takes off challah, that will be a valid removal of challah. But explains the Brisker Rav that even though that is clearly the halacha, that doesn't change, says the Brisker Rav, that what Al Gemara says, that the crucial moment to look at is the moment of Gilgal. And therefore, even though as far as the halacha of removal of challah could be removed when it's just in the status of flour and water, for the purpose of our sugya, that Gilgal is the defining moment, that doesn't change, that is the only time that we look at. But there's a very interesting question that I saw the Mepharshim ask. Mepharshim ask that we have a rule that a sugya that we've learned many times called nitcha, that if something is rejected, does it remain permanently rejected? And ask the Mepharshim that why in our case, where this dough at one point was in the hands of Hegdish, even if later it's no longer in the hands of Hegdish, why don't we apply the concept of Nitcha, and that once it's rejected, it remains rejected forever. So I saw that the Mepharshim give a number of answers. One answer is that something can only be considered Nitcha if it was Nitcha at the time that it was supposed to be obligated. The best example that we're using in explaining this Gemara is a Gemara Masechta Sukkah that discusses hadassim that have berries on them, and if that hadass is considered a kosher hadass or not. So the Gemara discusses if it has hadassim in the morning of Pesach, or the morning of Sukkot. But clearly, if it didn't have berries on it before the morning of Sukkot, before Sukkot began, if it had berries on them, that would not be relevant to our discussion. Because what's crucial is the moment of when you could use it for a mitzvah, when the mitzvah is there. Similarly, as we just explained in our Gemara, since the chiyuv doesn't come before Gilgal, so the fact that it was in the hands of Hegdish, or we'll discuss soon, in the hands of Goyim, it doesn't change what we're discussing. Because the moment that counts is the moment of when it's mechuyiv. We don't look as far as Hilchus Tichui, what was the halacha prior to that. But then, the Mefarshim say, we're going to learn later in our sugya that there are opinions that even if it was in the hands of Hegdish or Akum at the time of Gilgal, if afterwards it comes to the hands of a Jew, it's mechuyev, it's still mechuyev. The question in Chala, the question is, why don't we there certainly apply the concept of Gilgal, of Dichui? So I saw two turuts. One turut is, there's a difference in why the object that we're discussing is rejected. Sometimes it's inherent disqualification. The best example is again the hadassim. The hadassim with the berries on them are inherently disqualified. They're not kosher hadassim. Here, it's not an inherent disqualification. It's actually an external disqualification. It's the fact who is the owner. We only say dichui when it's inherently disqualified, not where there's an external disqualification. That's one teretz that I saw. Another teretz that I saw is as follows. Dichui can only speak to the issue, is there an obligation to do a mitzvah or not? So we can make an argument that if it was nitcha, if it was rejected, so then there's no longer a chiv mitzvah. But here, as we know, and we'll discuss this more in our shiurim, there's an iser to eat something which is tevel. Nitcha doesn't have anything to do with the removal of that iser. And therefore, even if the item is rejected and doesn't have a chiyuv, the chiyuv mitzvah of taking tumas and mitzvahs, but there's still an iser to eat tevel, and that's why we don't apply the concept of nitcha here. Ask the Gemara by Rabbi Gilgal over Kachavimai. What would be the halacha if it was made into a dough under the ownership of a goy? Misna tana. So says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah. Gershin is Geyer, if a Ger becomes a Ger, the Hosla Isa, and he has a dough. Nas actually is Geyer, if the dough was made before he became a Ger Potter, because the dough was made while he's a non-Jew, and a non-Jew is obviously not obligated in taking challah. Mishnah is Geyer, if the dough was made after he became a ger, chayiv. He's certainly chayiv, because he's a full-fledged Jew, and as we can clearly understand, the dough of a Jew is chayiv in chal. Says the Gemara, if there's a suffix, if we have a question, when was the dough made? Was the dough made when he was a Jew, or before or after? There, again, he's chayiv. Why? Because it's a suffix deraisa. The chiyuv of taking off challah is a chiyuv deraisa, and we have a rule throughout Shas, sofik deraisa l'chum. Now ask the Gemara. So clearly this braisa teaches us that the dough owned by a non-Jew is potter from challah. But now the Gemara asks, Hamak Tanelo, who is the tanner of this Mishnah? Divrei Hakol he doesn't represent everybody's opinion, and explains the Gemara. Even Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, who in our previous sugyas have told us that the tvua that was smoothed out by an akum is still chayiv in Truma Samaisis, will hold Patri Hocha, will hold that here by Chala, if it was owned by an akum, it's potter. And the Gemara explains, why is there a difference between Chala and Truma Samaisis? Because Hosam who deksiv the goncha yisera have a mir achamir they mir achamir ala rabbis. So we're going to explain the Gemara as Rashi explains the Gemara. There are three psukim that say the word the goncha. One pasuk says leisucha lecha b'sherecha masa the goncha. Another pasuk says v'chaltof nei shalom kechem masa the goncha. And another pasuk says resh is the gancha. So Rashi explains as follows. The first pasuk comes to teach us that the dogon of an act of a hegdush is potter from trumas and maisers. The second pasuk comes to teach us that the dogon of akum is potter from trumas and maisers, as does the third pasuk. So if we have two pasukim that teach us that the dogon of akum is potter from trumas and maisers, and we have a rule that we've learned numerous times, ein miyad achem miyad el rabbis. If the pasuk teaches us the same thing twice, it's not a miyad, it's actually a ribui. So we end up saying that the dogon of akum is chayiv. So what we end up having here, according to Rashi's understanding, is one pasuk teaches us we have dogon hegdish potter and dogon akum chayiv. Asks Rashi the obvious question, why don't we say the opposite? Maybe we should say that the dogon of Akum is chayiv, the dogon of Akum is potter, and the dogon of Hegdish is chayiv. Answers Rashi, it makes more sense to say that the dogon of Hegdish is potter, because we know that in order to be able to eat Hegdish, we have to be poided the Hegdish, we have to redeem the Hegdish. Whereas by dogon of Akum, there is no requirement for pigeon. But then asked the Rashba a different question. So it's saying that ein mir achem mir achel rabbis, we have two psukim that teach us the din of dogon akum, and ein mir achem mir, that we end up with a ribui that the dogon of akum is chayiv. So ask the Rashba, so why didn't the Torah just not speak about the dogon akum? And if we would have no psukim speaking about the dogon akum, then we would have, then it would be obvious that it's chayiv. Why do we have to have two psukim and then we say ein mir achem mir achel rabbis? Answers the Rashba, if we only had one pasuk, we will learn that one pasuk to say that the dogon akum is potter, and if the dogon of akum is potter, given the svara that we just said, certainly the dogon of hegdish would be potter. What? So we would end up having both the dogon of akum and dogon of hegdish potter. The fact that the Torah teaches us, so that's why the Torah had to have two more pasukim to expressly teach us the dogon of Hegdish is potter, and the dogon of Akum is chayiv. So there we have a situation that specifically teaches us the dogon of Akum is chayiv and trumas and maisers. Aval hocha, regarding our Gemara, trei zimni aris yoseichem ksiv. Two times that the Torah used the word aris yoseichem. We'll say, chad aris yoseichem. One aris yoseichem comes to teach us kedei asascha, that only if you have the proper amount of dough, we'll discuss that more on Amud Beis, but the amount of dough that's mechuyiv in challah is only if you have a dough which is the size of 1/10 of an eifah, which is the equivalent of 43 1/5 eggs. That's one pasuk. V'chad aris yoseichem, and one aris yoseichem comes to teach us Arisa Sechem, Valeri Isis Aves Kacham, Valeri Isis Hegdish. And therefore, even though by Truma and Meiser, the halacha will be that the Tvua of an Akum is Mechuyiv in Truma and Meisris, regarding Chala, the din will be that it's part of Truma and Meiser. This Girsa that we just learned is the Girsa of Rashi and Algum. This is the Girsa of Rashi in our Gemara. And as the Miri explains, certainly this is the way that the Gemara prefers to learn. We're not going to use this two psukim again as a ribu yachariba el rabbis, because the Miri explains the only time the Gemara uses the svara on miyad achamid l'rabbis is only when the Gemara has no other choice, like in the previous Gemara. But certainly the Gemara prefers not to use the approach, and the way the Rashba asked the Gemara's question, it's very understandable not to use the approach of Ribay Acharibet El Larabbis. Tysus, however, has a very different approach to this, has a very different girsa. Tysus' girsa is that the Torah uses by Chala the word Aris Yosechem twice. One time the Torah uses the word Aris Yosechem to be Mamat, to exclude the Chala of Akum, and one time it uses the word Aris Yosechem to mat the challah of Hegdish. And as the Shagas Ari explains the machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi who says that we could learn from one time using the word Eretz Yisrael, both the exclusion of Akum and Hekdesh, is of the opinion that unless it has Jewish ownership, it's potter from Challah. And therefore, whether the ownership is Hekdesh, or whether the ownership is Akum, it doesn't have regular Jewish ownership, and it's potter from Challah, and we could use both, and we can learn both of these halachas from one pasuk. Tosfos, however, has a very different approach. Tosfos' approach is that the fact that it's owned by Akum, the fact that it's owned by Hekdesh, doesn't mean that it should not be mechuyav in Challah. It's only because there's a special dispensation that the Torah tells us that makes it potter from Challah. So therefore we need a special p'tor when it's owned by Hekdesh, and we need a special p'tor when it's owned by an Akum. And actually, and therefore Tosfos learns we need two p'sukim, one for Hekdesh and one for Akum. And actually, if we think about this for a moment, this question, this machloikis, as the Shagas Arya explains it, may be the key to understanding an answer to a question that I saw Shlomo Zalman asks in the Sefer Mincha Shlomo. He asked the following question. As we learn, and we're going to continue learning, the moment that is a chiyuv, that's the defining moment, that is a chiyuv of Trumas and Maestris, is the Gemar Melacha, when whatever we're processing is now finished. So the question is, let's say an Akum was cutting grapes, but he wasn't cutting the grapes with the intention that the grapes will be used for eating. He was cutting the grapes with the intention that these grapes will be used for wine. So that was his intention. The time of cutting the grapes is certainly not the Gemar Melacha. The Gemar Melacha is when he's going to turn the grapes into wine. And a Jew purchases those grapes, but he decides to eat those grapes. So now, how do we look at this situation? On one hand, we could say that the Gemar Melacha was by the hands of the Akum, because the Akum was the one that cut the grapes, and that's all that's needed in order to be able to eat them. On the other hand, the Akum did not cut the grape with the intention of eating them. He cut them that they should be used for wine grapes. And therefore, in the hands of the Akum, there was no Gemar Melacha. So Shlomo Zalman, in analyzing this question, wants to take the approach, he wants to view it from the perspective of how do we look at the ownership of property in Eretz Yisrael owned by an Akum. Yesh kinyan l'akum ba'eretz Yisrael lafkim de ma'isa. But perhaps we could view this question from the perspective of the machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos, as the Shagas Arya explains it. According to Rashi and Tosfos, the Torah is teaching us that if there wasn't Jewish ownership, there's no chiyuv in Trumas and Maestros. And here, by the Gemar Melacha, there wasn't Jewish ownership, and that's why there's no chiyuv in Trumas and Maestros. According to Tosfos, however, it has nothing to do with ownership. There has to be a special ptur said for the tvua, for the chala of an Akum, for the chala of a Hekdesh. And when that isn't here, as in our case, because the rules for that ptur aren't applicable in the case that we just described, it could be that there would be a chiv according to Tosfos and Trumas and Maestros. So now the Gemara's question is back. Here the Braisa clearly indicated that the miruach of tvua in the hands of an Akum is mechuyav in Trumas and Maestros. Chala is potter by an Akum. So the Gemara's question is, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Is the Tana of this Mishnah Dilma Rabbi Yosef of Shimon Katana Lo? Are the Tanaim of this Mishnah of Rabbi Yosef and Shimon the Kapatri, who hold that just like by Truma and Maestros, the tvua of an Akum is potter, so too will be the halacha regarding challah? Or Avol Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, who hold that the tvua of an Akum is chayiv in Trumas and Maestros, Gamri, they're going to learn Gzeirah Shavah, Rashis, Rashis, Mihasam, and they'll say that just like the Tfuah of an Akum is Chayiv and Trumas and Maestris, so too will be the Halacha regarding the Challah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava said, Yehi Rava, he said a Tfilah, Hashem should help me, the Chazah B'Chelma, that I should see in a dream the answer to this question. And here too, of course, the Mepharshim are very troubled. We know the Torah is Loiba Shemayim, the Torah is not in Shemayim, and how did he daven that he should see the answer to a question Min HaShemayim? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is, the way that we say Torah Loiba Shemayim, that's when we could come to an answer through the regular way of learning. So if we could come to an answer through the regular way of learning, we're not allowed to rely on Chalonis. Here Rava said, however, that there is no way of coming to an answer to this question through the regular way of learning, and there is no other option to come to an answer only through Shammai. That's one teretz I saw. Another teretz that I saw is that when do we say Torah Leiba Shammai, is that if there's a machloikis between two Tanoim, and they don't know how to be machriya, we don't know who is correct. So to say that we'll rely on deciding the answer to this question, to this debate, because we'll have a cholim but a shemayim, so there is a rule, Torah Leiba Shemayim. But where there is not a specific debate, we don't find in our Gemara a specific debate between two tanon, between two opinions, there we can rely on an answer min a shemayim. A third text that I saw is the when do we say Torah Leiba Shemayim? If somebody has a question on what to do in a specific situation, so he should say that I rely that the answer will come to me b'shema shemayim. We say Torah Leiba Shemayim, Divrei Chalomus Leimalim V'Lo Meridim. However, as in the case of our Gemara, where it's a question that applies to all of Klal Yisrael, what is the status of Challah, of an Akum? There we can rely that Min HaShemayim will give us the answer. Hadav and Rava, and therefore Rava said, Man Dama Meruach Ayvik Chavim Poiter. The Man Dama that holds that the Meruach of an Ayvik Chavim is Poiter will hold that Gilgal Ayvik Chavim, that dough made by an Akum is Poiter, will be the same halacha. And man da amma meruach ayvik chavim ein a poiter. And the man da amma that holds that the meruach of an ayvik chavim is not potter from trumas and maestris will similarly hold the gilgo ayvik chavim ein a poiter, that the dough made by an akum is not potter from challah. Eisvei rapapa l'rova, asked rapapa to rova, is this indeed true? It says in the following braisa, ayvik chavim shefresh petach amar. We know that the Torah teaches us that if somebody has born to him a donkey, a male donkey is the firstborn donkey, either that donkey should, baraftoi, should be killed, or it should be redeemed with a sheep. So if Ayvik HaChavim went and separated a Petach Hamor, and we have a Machloikis Rashi in Tosfos, how to understand exactly what happened here. Rashi explains, as we just said, he exchanged the Petach Hamor that he had born to him for Seth. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains that's not referring to a situation where he exchanged the Petach Hamor for a Seth. Rather, the situation is that he actually gave the Petach Hamor to a Kohen. The Karen Oira asks, why does the Braisa have to speak about a case that was a Petach Hamor? Why can't it be that the Akum has a regular animal, and he had a firstborn animal, a Bechor, and he gave it to a Kohen? Says the Karen Oira, if it were the firstborn of a kosher animal that the Goy gave, so as we have been learning, and Akum have the ability to be Magdish of a Hemah for Hegdish, and therefore have a full-fledged din of a carbon, and therefore it's specifically speaking about a Behemah Tameyah, which cannot become a carbon. Or if an Akum separated Chala, my Dinai say, we notify him shoe potter, that's potter. The chalosoy nechalos lazorim. The chal doesn't have to only be eaten by kahanim. It doesn't have the status of challah. But petach hamor, the halach is that normally a petach hamor is treated with a level of kedusha. It may not be shorn. It may not be used for work. Here, a petach hamor, goizes, but you could cut it, you could cut off the hair, and you could use it for work because the entire act was meaningless. The Mefarshim asked, why does the Braisa emphasize my Dinoisai, that we notify him that what he did was not valid? The Shach explains, because we purposely publicize that his act was a meaningless act, because otherwise people will think that what he did have validity, and the people will think that we could treat Kachin without the proper respect. So we therefore publicize that this is not Hegdish, and therefore there is no issue that the Hegdish is not being treated properly. The Tzatzis Pneach, however, takes a different approach, that there's an issue of Gnei Stas. The Akum may believe that what he did is valid, so we have the obligation of notifying the Akum that what he did is not necessary, not meaningful, and therefore take it back. So the Braisa spoke about Petach Hamor, the Braisa spoke about Challah. Truma. The Braisa did not speak about Truma. Obviously, because the Braisa is of the opinion that a Surah, that the Tfuah of an Akum, does have a Chiv of Truma Semaisris. So, ask the Gemara, we have a very interesting situation. For High Tana, obviously the Tana of this Braisa is of the opinion that Meruach Oivikachavim Eina Poiter, that the Tfuah of Akum is not part from Truma Semaisris. Yet this Tana does hold that Gigloi B'Kachavim is Potter. But Rava taught us that the two issues travel together. And if there's a Chiv in Trumas and Maestris by the Akum, there's a Chiv in Challah, or vice versa. Yet this Braisa distinguishes between them. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, Void Eisei Ravina L'Rava. The Braisa says, Challah's Oiv K'chom B'Aretz. The Challah that Akum takes off from his dough in Eretz Yisrael, the Trumasoi, and the Truma that the Akum takes off from his produce in Chutz Loritz, Maidinoisai Shepater. We notify him that it's Pater. And therefore, Chalosoi Nachelus Lazarim, the Chalam may be eaten even by non Kohanim, the Trumasoi Enim Damas, and if the Truma get mixed up with Chulin, even though the halacha is that when Truma falls into chulin, it only becomes bottle if there's a 100-to-1 ratio. The truma of Akum outside of Eretz Yisrael, since it's not considered truma at all, doesn't create a forbidden mixture. Interestingly, the Rishana point out from here we see that the truma that of Yisrael and Chutz Loritz does become the same din as the Truman Eretz Yisrael, and it has to have the 100-to-1 ratio. Furthermore, it seems, and as Machloek has had to learn this Gemara, that strictly the Trumasa Enim Damas, if the Truma got mixed into other Chulin, it doesn't create a forbidden mixture. What about the Truma itself? So the Chazon Ish says, from here it seems, that the Truma, if it's of an Akum and Chutz Loritz, would be Asur. Others seem to disagree, because we're learning now it seems that there is no Truma of an Akum that's Asur. But again, what do we see from here? Truma in Eretz Yisrael, it's only in Chutz Loritz where there's a discussion how we treat the Truma of an Akum. In Eretz Yisrael, it would certainly be considered Truma. And in Damas, and if it mixed into chulin, it would create a forbidden mixture. So ask the Gemara the same question. So obviously, high Tana, the opinion of this Tana is the meruach over kachavim ain a paiter. The mixture that the truma of an akum is considered truma, and yet the same Tana holds the gilgal over kachavim, that the challah, there is no challah by an akum. Yet Rava said that the two issues travel together. Answers the Gemara with Rabban. So as the Rishonim explained, the Tana of this Braisa really holds that there is no chiyuv chala by an akum, and there also is no chiyuv truma meiser by an akum. I clearly we saw that they do hold that there's a chiyuv chala, that there is a chiyuv truma by an akum. That chiyuv is only a chiyuv medrabon. Why? Gzeir mishubal kisa. Chazal made a special gzeira that even though medaraisa there ought not to be a chiyuv truma by produce that was processed by an akum, Chazal said that it should be mechayi because of Baal HaKisa. And there are a number of explanations in the Rishonim what is Baal HaKisa. Rashi says, his first pshat, Rashi says, is that if the halacha will be that if somebody buys tavua, somebody buys grain from an akum, they are part of Trumas HaMaisers, he'll also maybe come to be confused and make the mistake in believing that if he buys produce from a Jew, he's part of Truma Maisa, which of course is very not true. In order to avoid such an error, the halacha is that any Tvua bought is Chayiv in Truma Maisa's Midrabon. That's one way of looking. Another way of looking is that a person is going to have Tvua that he bought from an Akum and Tvua that he bought from a Jew. And he may get confused, not really correctly recalling which is the tefuah from the Akum and which is the tefuah from the Jew. So in order to avoid that mistake, they said all tefuah bought should be chayiv and trumas and maisers. Another pshat, a similar pshat, is that somebody's going to buy tefuah from a Jew, and he's going to also buy tefuah from the goy. And in order to avoid taking off trumas and maisers, what he'll do is he'll say that all of the grain that he bought from an akum, which of course isn't the case. So that's why they said, no matter what, you're going to be mechuyev trumas hamaisros. But another approach that Rashi takes is that what the wealthy people would do is, since they owned a lot of property and they had a lot of grain that was mechuyev and trumas hamaisros, in order to avoid giving trumas hamaisros, what they would do is they would sell their properties to the Akum. And by selling their property to the Akum, they would therefore avoid giving Trumas HaMaisros. So in order to stop that from happening, and as the Mefarshim explained, since the entire Mechira was really not a valid Mechira, there really was no intent to sell these properties. It was only a subterfuge in order to avoid giving Trumas HaMaisros. Chazal said, it won't work, you'll still be mechuyev in Trumas HaMaisros. That's why, even though lahalacha, there is no chiyev to take Trumas HaMaisros here, Chazal, because of the gzeiros that we just explained, said that Trumas HaMaisros should be taken when they take Trumas from the Akum. Ask the Gemara, if there is such a concern, ihachi afil chalanami. So why don't we say the same by Chala, that we should be concerned people will try to avoid giving Chala properly, and they'll transfer ownership of their dough to Akum to avoid taking off the Chala. So just like Chazal made a Gzeira by Trumas HaMaisros, they ought to have made the same Gzeira by Chala, answers the Gemara. By Chala, there is no reason to make the Gzeira. Because as we said earlier in the shir, the only time there's a chiyuv chala medaraisa is when somebody makes a dough which is the size of a siras eifa, which is 43 and a fifth eggs. So what he could do is, efshe the offaway pachas mechamesh revechem voy, he can make small doughs. And since he can make small dough, we have no reason to make a gzeira. If he doesn't want to take off challah, just make a small dough, and therefore there was no reason to make a gzeira. Interesting to point out that the Shulchan Aruch says that even though this is clearly the rule, that if you have a small dough, you have no chiv to take off challah, the halacha is only if that's your intent, to make a small dough. But to purposely make small doughs in order to avoid the chiv challah, says the Shulchan Aruch, is of course wrong. Says the Gemara, why are we saying there's a difference between the challah and truma? that by the challah of an akum we didn't make a gzeira, and by the truma of an akum we didn't make a gzeira, because the challah of an akum there's a legitimate way of avoiding it, and therefore there was no reason for Chazal to make a gzeira. As the Gemara, whereas by truma it seems there is no legitimate way. Says the Gemara truma nami, by truma there is also a legitimate way, not relying on the akum. Efshar, that you could avoid taking truma semaisras, because efshar the avolak reboishia, he could do what reboishia said. Don't reboishia, man adam al tefuasa, a person could avoid taking truma from his tefuah, or machnis b'moichla, if he brings it into the house still with the shaft, still with the mites, kadei shtei behenta echelus or b'turim in a maisa. If you bring into your house that way, it's part of an maisa. So there's a machlokes. Rashi says two explanations why, if somebody brings it in this way, is a potter from truma. One explanation is because it's a machl behema. If it was brought into the house when it's still in the mites, it's a machl behema, and a machl behema there's no chi of meisa. Another pshat that he gives is because there was no rias pnei habayis. Now what it is that in order to be chayiv in Trumas HaMaisris, there has to be Rias Pnei Abayis. It has to be brought into the house. And it has to be brought into the house when it was completely processed. And therefore, since here was brought when it wasn't completely processed, it's part of Trumas HaMaisris. What would be the Nafka Mina? The Nafka Mina is that, let's say, the person will remove the mites. He'll remove this brand from it. Will there not be a chiyuv in Trumas HaMaisris? According to the first Pshat and Rashi, that it was it's a Meichel Behema. So now when it's no longer a Meichel Behema, it won't be chayiv, it'll be chayiv in Trumas HaMaisris. According to the other Pshat, that since it was brought into the house, b'moitz, once it was brought into the house, b'moitz, it's never chayiv, that didn't create a chiyuv in Trumas HaMaisris. So what make a difference? What will happen afterwards? It will be potter from Trumas HaMaisris. And in fact, the Afika Yam brings a machloik sachroinim. If it was brought into the house when it was in its mites, and then he took off the bran in the house, and he takes it and brings it into another house through the front door, will there be a chiyuv maisr or not? The Pnei Yeshua and the Mechitz Chinuch say that it will be chayiv in Trumas HaMaisris. The Shergis Aryeh says that it won't be. And the Machlokes is probably dependent on the two Pshat Merashi. But actually, we have here another Machlokes Rishonim. Here the Gemara is teaching us that it was brought into the house, it's potter from Trumas and Maisris. The Machlokes HaRishonim here is, how potter is it? Rashi says that it may only be given to animals to be eaten. Tosfos says, no, it's not only limited to animals to be eaten, even humans can be eaten. And Tosfos uses this Gemara actually as a raya that his pshat is the correct pshat. Because says Tosfos, if pshat is that it can only be eaten by animals, what's the Gemara saying? That we have a way of avoiding Trumas HaMaisris. Because we could take it in this way, we can't avoid it. A person can't eat it that way, according to Rashi. But then Taisha says that that isn't necessarily a compelling question, because we could say we're talking about Trumas HaMaisris of Machl Behema, and therefore it would be a way of avoiding the Chiv of Trumas HaMaisris. Inami, the Gemara gives another way of how to avoid Trumas HaMaisris. The Ayala, Derek Gagav, Derek Afifas. He didn't bring it in through the front door, and since he didn't bring it in to the front door, the only time there's a chiv of Trumas HaMaisris is when something was brought in through the front door. Here too, the Afika Yam has a very interesting shaila. What would be the halacha if Tvur was brought into the house, not through the front door, so clearly there's no chiv, and then it was taken into a next house through the front door? What will be the halacha? So it seems here that everybody will agree that if it was brought into a second house through the front door, now since it was brought in properly, everybody will agree that there's a chiyuv of Trumas HaMaisris. So again,
The Gemara's question is as follows. The Gemara's question is that by chala we said that since there's a legitimate way of avoiding chala, as we explained, by making small batches, that's why there is no chiyuv chala. There is no chiyuv. The Chazal did not make a chiyuv chala when you bought a dough from a goy. But by truma, we're worried. By truma, so Maisa, we're worried about the balakisim. As the Gemara, by truma and Maisa, the Gemara just gave us legitimate ways of avoiding truma and Maisa. Answers the Gemara, Hasan b'Feresia. The ways that the Gemara suggested of avoiding truma and Maisa by were all ways that had to be done publicly. There are gagas kafifas. You didn't bring it through the front door. You carried it through a yard. You brought it in b'mayt shalom, and people are zil b'milsa. People are embarrassed to do such a thing publicly. Hacha, whereas by the challah, the way you're going to avoid taking the challah is by making small batches of dough, which is done in the privacy of your home. Zil b'milsa, you won't be embarrassed, and therefore people will use this subterfuge. It's very interesting to know. There's a famous Bukhar Shah. The Bukhar Shah discusses the issue of mechiras chametz. We know that the meaning by Klal Yisrael is that we sell chametz to an akum. If the Jew has chametz left over, he sells chametz to the akum in order to avoid the problem of owning chametz over Pesach. And the Bukhar Shah is concerned with following that meaning of mechiras chametz because it's a haroma. He says there's really no intent to sell, and it's a question of a daraisa. And therefore we should not rely on mechiras chametz. And this is the source for minig that many people have, that even if they sell chametz, they don't sell chametz gomer. They only sell chametz which is chametz drabonon, because they don't want to rely on mechiras chametz, which the Bukhar Shah says is some sort of a haroma by a deraisa. Ask the paiskim, here Al Gemara said, marim odom atfosai, that a person could specifically try this different haroma of how to avoid giving trumas to maestros, machnisa v'machala, machnisa dargagas v'kafifas, ayitza haroma by a daraisa. And the Bukhar Shah taught us that we should not rely on a haroma by a daraisa. So how do we understand this Gemara? So I saw that the Paiskim explained, there's a difference between the case of the Bukhar Shah, where he says he doesn't want to rely on a haroma, and our Gemara. In the case of chametz is also medaraisa on Pesach. So to rely on a haroma where there's going to be an isser tells us the Bukhar Shah we shouldn't do so. Here, if somebody takes the tefuah into the house this way, so there won't be a chiyuv trumas maestros in the first place. He avoids the chiyuv, and therefore, since there is no chiyuv, there is no isser in the first place. There's certainly no issue of a haroma. Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah now describes how the Mechus HaOmer was brought. Bala Lisaren, he has in his Saren a flour that was prepared. Nosen Shamna Levantai, he puts on an oil and Levoina, Yotzik Leboilu, and he pours the oil on the flour and mixes the flour and the oil. Actually, the Mishnah speaks about oil being put on twice. The Rashi and Tosfos both indicate that actually oil is put on three times. Once there's oil put on the bottom of the pan, then some oil is put together with the flour mix, and then the remainder of the oil is poured again. Although I did see that there are Rishonim that suggest that the oil was, that even though normally, as we've learned by Kar Mincha, oil was put on three times, here oil was only put on twice. Furthermore, there's a machloikis girsas. Our Mishnah has the girsa bolo lisaron, which seems to indicate that the entire avoda was done only by one kohen. Other rishonim have bol, a lashon rabin, that many kohanim were involved in the putting on and in the preparation of this mechus kohen. The Hegish, he does the Tnuf on it. The Hegish, he put it next to the southwest corner. Komats, they take off a Koimitz, the Hikter, and then they were Makter, the Koimitz in the Beach, the Shar, and the rest of the Kavim Mechus Oimer was Nechel Kahan. Tosfos asks, but why doesn't the Mishnah mention that salt was put on the carbon nichas oimer, as the halacha is a kol kabancha takriv melech? So one type for Tosfos Yotov suggests that this, since that's not a halacha that's specific to carbon mincha, as I just quoted the pasuk, a kol kabancha takriv melech, all kabanas require salt, therefore the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Another explanation I saw is that salt was put on later, only right before the Akhtara, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Another text that I saw is, since that's such an obvious halacha that salt should be put on the Karim Milcha, as I just quoted the Pasuk, so the Mishnah doesn't bother mentioning it because it's obvious. There are opinions, a very interesting point, that the Karim Milcha Sa'imer did not require salt. Mishikar of Aymer, once the carbon oimer was offered, Yoitzim Asigim Shukur Yishraim Shemelech Molikem Mechkali, they would go out and find the marketplace of Yishraim filled with flour and oven-dried grain from the new crop. L'tzon Chacham de Remeir. Remeir says the Chachamim weren't happy with this, because obviously all this had been prepared before the Mechus Oimer was offered, and as we're going to see, Remeir was dissatisfied that people may come to eat it before the Omer was offered. And we know that the Chadash is offered before the Omer was offered. Furthermore, the Rosh Hashanah Kluger and the Shalas Hachuvas Elif L'Chashleima proves from our Gemara that Chadash applies even to women. Otherwise, why would the Shalai B'Tzayin Chachamim women to eat it? It's not considered a mitzvah to say Zman Groma. Even though women aren't mechuyev in the bringing of the carbon, but they have the Isra Chadosh, which applies to women as well. The Mefarshim asked if it was Shalai B'Tzayin Chachamim, why didn't the Chachamim make any gzeira about it? So Mefarshim answered because the Chachamim knew that this would be gzeira regarding something that Klal Yisrael need to eat, and it would be gzeira that people cannot fulfill. Rav Yehuda Aimer, Yehuda disagrees, and he said B'Tzayin Chachamim, there was no problem with what they were doing. And in tomorrow she will explain the basis of the machlokes of Rameya and Rav Yehuda.